It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Morning, Mayor Phil Goff, how are you?
Atamarie, Rachel, I'm good, thank you. And there's a nice drop of rain coming in at the moment that will be watering our gardens, providing pasture growth for our farmers and helping with our lake storage levels, slowing down their decline.
Exactly. Oh gosh, it is a bad situation where any small bit of rain we're stoked about, isn't it? But it is good to definitely have some coming through this morning. We've got a few things to talk about today. Let's start by touching base on Ports of Auckland, because this has been an ongoing and will be an ongoing situation. You've been particularly strong with the Ports of Auckland. You've sent them a very strongly worded letter, basically outlining that you're frustrated with the way that they have been perhaps unwilling to be accountable. Can you tell us a little bit about what your major concerns are here?
Well, the first major concern I'm going to deal with in about three quarters of an hour when I release a health and safety report into the fatalities that have occurred on the wharf. We've had three in as many years. And the WorkSafe and the Maritime New Zealand reports that have been published to date on that show that there are systemic problems. These are not simply accidents that couldn't be predicted, but when you get harbour boats exceeding the speed limit by sevenfold and killing a swimmer, when you get a person that's killed when the straddle carrier that he was driving tips over, when he'd set off the straddle alarm 97 times during the shift that he was killed on and was using his cell phone 64 times while driving, and there was no monitoring or enforcement of the rules, then there's a real problem there. That's why I instituted an independent review of health and safety on the at the Ports of Auckland, and that will be published in about an hour, and that will set out a series of recommendations to solve the problem. But I've also been concerned about other things. The congestion that we've got at the ports at the moment is to a significant degree caused by international supply chain problems. But when you're operating less than half of the cranes on the wharf because you haven't got the staff to drive them, that also is a problem that should have been avoided. And when you're not paying a dividend and when you're not getting the return on equity that you should be and when you're losing market share, there's a lot to criticise the Ports of Auckland for. We're a shareholder. We don't run the ports. We're prevented by law from doing so. But we're saying to ports, we need an improvement in your performance.
Now, obviously, as you said, you're going to be releasing some thorough discussion around this at 9 o'clock this morning. But I wanted to know, can you give us some overview of what you hope to see change at this point? Because, it is a problem that is very established now. What do you want to see move forward first?
Well, what I basically want to see is that when a worker gets up in the morning and goes to work, that they return safely home to their family that evening. And that means that you have to have a culture of health and safety at the wharf. You have to prioritise health and safety. You can't subordinate health and safety to profit or productivity. You can't build profit on the basis of an unsafe work environment. So that's the changes I'm looking for. And the independent review we set up consists of people expert in the area of health and safety. And they will provide a blueprint for changes that need to be made. So we're not just highlighting the problem, but we're coming with a solution that will hopefully fix the problem and reduce the injuries and the deaths that we've seen in that work environment.
So let's talk a little bit. I guess we're going to be able to touch base on this again in a week or so when we hear more about this report that will be released at 9. So let's talk a little bit about something else that sort of sits in the harbour area, and that is this speculation around a second harbour bridge crossing. This has been bouncing around the media for the last week or so. How much weight is there to this? Is this just people talking about, something they hope is going to happen or that they think might happen, or is this something that we might actually see on the cards?
Well, we've been very keen on, for the first time, having a walker and cycle link between the North Shore and the city centre. I think it would be used both by commuters, by recreational walkers and cyclists, and as part of the tourist attraction of the city. And there's been plans in recent years that looked really promising. And we called those plans SkyPath, and it would connect up with new walk and cycle paths, SeaPath on to Devonport and to Takapuna. But what appears to have occurred is that there are engineering challenges with adding further weight to the bridge and attaching a walk and cycle way to the bridge. So we're waiting. The government is funding this. They've put, I think, $360 million aside to have a walking and cycling connection across the harbour.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand that they're now looking at alternative plans to do that, which don't involve the engineering challenges of adding further weight to the bridge. So we're awaiting to see what comes out of the reports from Waka Kotahi, the New Zealand Transport Agency. But I was really pleased to hear the Minister of Transport, Michael Wood, say that the government, you know, retains its strong commitment to ensuring that we do have that walk and cycle link across the harbour. It's something we've been waiting for years.
Yeah, and I'm kind of curious as well, what do you think should be the first priority here, though? Because this, as you say, is something that we have been waiting for a long time. It's something that there's definitely a lot of public, you know, goodwill towards. But we have also got, you know, some major issues with just the traffic flow across the bridge as well. Do you think this is a good prioritisation, or does it not need to necessarily be a one or the other situation?
Well, I think, you know, what we see in cities overseas that have been successful in reducing their global emissions and reducing congestion is that they look at alternative modes of travelling rather than simply reliance on the private car. And we've done that on the shore with the North Shore Busway, which has been a huge success, you know. So 40-50% of the people coming in from the shore to the city centre now travel by bus rather than their own cars. If we hadn't have had that busway, we would have needed a new harbour bridge by now. As it is, the numbers of cars on the harbour bridge actually haven't changed much over the last 10 years. So what we're looking at, we need a harbour crossing that will allow for rapid public transport. But we're also looking at joining up our cycleways so that we can fully realise the potential of people travelling without carbon emissions in a healthy manner where they get exercise and fresh air. And if you make safe walk and cycleways, then you'll find that much more people use it. You know, this is back to the future, really. When I was a kid at school, we all used to bike to school. Hardly anybody does now because it's not safe.
No.
But if you were to put in safe bike lanes, then hopefully we could encourage that again, and that by itself would take, you know, 10% off the morning peak traffic if kids went to school by bike rather than mum dropping them off at the, or dad dropping them off at the gate of the school and heading to the congestion. So it's a mixture of things. I'm not saying that cycleways got to be put ahead of a whole lot of other things, but we've got to look at ways in which we tackle carbon emissions. We've got to look at ways in which we get people out of private cars into alternative modes of transport that they choose to use. And the big one will be public transport, but walking and cycling overseas has also proven to be an effective way of getting people to move around, you know, freely around the city.
Well, let's talk a little bit about something that's happening in New Lynn, but I guess is maybe something that could be applied to lots of spaces in Tamaki at the moment. There are some residents who are planning to fight council plans to sell a reserve on their street, which will be sold to developers and turned into housing, high density housing. Now, the concern here is that this is a really well loved and well used park, and there seems to be a lot of, you know, people who are keen for this high density housing, not so keen for it to go in on this small section, which is a by all accounts a very well populated and used green space. What I guess is the crux of this maybe is how do people get this balance between having these established green spaces and keeping those established green spaces, and also moving forward with, you know, very necessary high-density housing?
Well, let's get the balance into perspective. The piece of land here in Devon Lane is 300 square metres. Each year we add something like 30 hectares to our parks and open spaces around the city, you know, and I don't know, my maths aren't that good, but, you know, that's probably 300 times as much land purchased for parks and open spaces as disposed of. Now, I've got an open mind on their concerns. When we consult for the sale of surplus property, we go out to consultation, we encourage people to make submissions, and we need to listen to their submissions, and we need to get a clearer perspective on how much it's used and how valuable it might be. I know this, that some of the land that is being proposed for sale, I drove by each day, and it's kind of surplus land that's bare grassed land that nobody ever uses, and it costs a lot of money to maintain, and people say, well, what the hell are you doing with it, you know? So most of what will be deemed by officials and reported to us on the governing body as surplus land is land that is poorly utilised and surplus to needs. Now, I can't say in every case that is the situation. So it is incumbent on us to listen to people who are making submissions, and there's some people in Howick making submissions, and now the people in New Lynn making those submissions, and use those submissions, judge them against the information that's being provided by our council officers to determine whether on balance it is right to sell the land or not. But part of the reason for selling is not just that it's surplus, but obviously to avoid putting rates up, to ensure that we've still got revenue flow to buy new parkland and reserves, where stuff is surplus, you know, there's a good economic case for disposing of it.
But if people
but we will
are,
listen to what people say.
Yeah, as you say, if people are concerned about something that they see as, you know, a real asset to a community, how do you balance that? Sometimes things aren't necessarily about the number of people that use it, but more the overall effect it has on a community area. You know, how do people, I guess, feel confident that their concerns are being listened to? Because a submissions process can sometimes feel quite impersonal.
Yeah, but we do it for a purpose. We don't waste our money on asking for submissions and going out to consultation because we think that it's not necessary. We think it is good that people have the chance to have their say and can be listened to, and then we balance the case that they make against the case that we've received from council officers to say, actually, this is a piece of land that is surplus to our requirements. This is an area, I'm not saying in this particular case, but what we look at is, for example, how much park and open space is there in that area? How much is this land used? How valuable is this land as a recreational asset? Or is it just a surplus piece of land that we had left over when we purchased it for transport reasons and we now don't need it for that purpose? And most of the land that we're selling comes into that category. But the reason for having a consultation process is to ensure that if officers have got it wrong and they haven't seen the value that the community might see in a piece of land, we can take the community view into account. So I keep an open mind, as I should, on each and every piece of land that comes up for sale. Each piece is separately approved by members of the governing body, the elected representatives. We listen to what officers say, we listen to what the community says, and then we try and find the balance between that.
Well, thank you very much for your time this morning, Mayor Phil Goff. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show. We'll look forward to hearing about the Ports of Auckland at 9 o'clock this morning, and we'll talk to you again next Tuesday.
Look forward to it. Thanks, Rachel.
All right.
Ka
kite, mā te wā.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Thank you very much.